Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2018, with a release date of Friday, July 1st, 2016, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Wildfires and floods imperil public safety and challenge the amateur community. An Ohio ham takes one college assignment to new heights. Germany hosts its 41st Global Amateur Expo, and Radio Caroline is back on the air. Well, sort of. All of this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2018, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
This week's report begins with the weather, all kinds of extreme weather. There's the blazing heat, raging fire, and elsewhere, torrential flooding that can call radio amateurs into emergency action or preparedness and, in some cases, even cancel plans for a long-awaited field day. Our two reports are from Albuquerque, New Mexico, in Kanawha County, West Virginia. We first hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, who's been following the wildfires out west.
We've all heard the horror stories about field day miseries. Things like the tent blew over, or that lightning made us disconnect our antennas for 5 hours. But what about when a raging wildfire forced evacuations from a site? Well, that's what happened to the Albuquerque DX Association. Bob Norton, N5EPA, explains.
Just way too many uncertainties. Too much was still happening. The evacuation orders were lifted only on Thursday before field day. When most field days start setting up on Friday, that's not a whole lot of window.
A raging wildfire was burning about 20 miles from Albuquerque.
It's probably an unbelievably rare situation. This is the first time ever that I know of there's been threat to Torrance County Park. This may be a once-in-a-lifetime threat.
Norton explained what plans their association had in store for this year's field day.
We had intended to have a standalone CW station, a standalone sideband station, a GOTA station, as well as a VHF station. It's kind of a optimistic, maybe overly so for this year.
But the wildfire was bearing down on the Cedro Peak Group Campground.
A couple of days after the fire started, they closed that entire ranger district down. We looked at the alternate site back at Torrance County Park. Unfortunately, with the wildfire going on, if we were to use the park and the fire were to jump the line and head that way, you know, we would be a bigger problem for them. We didn't have a third contingency location planned out, so we reluctantly passed this year on conducting our own field day.
With some help from Mother Nature, firefighters were able to get the upper hand on the blaze.
It's a heavily wooded. Where they had the fire line, they were able to stop the fire from going further northeast. It topped just short of about 18,000 acres. There were some residents that lost homes, and if the fire would have continued further north or northeast, very heavily populated areas. Fortunately, on Wednesday and Thursday before field day, there were some pretty decent afternoon thunderstorms that parked right over the fireburn area, and that made all the difference in turning around that particular fire.
In the end, all wasn't lost on this field day.
We had invites from other area clubs, and others just chose to stay home and operate a little field day from the home station, which is what I did, because in the end, I was kind of happy to still have a home. Fire line for me was stopped at 4.5 miles. That's just too close for comfort.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Meanwhile, in flood-ravaged West Virginia, hams awaited word of an emergency activation, but at press time, there was still no need. We hear from Newsline's Jim Damron, N8TMW.
Severe storms on June 23rd caused unprecedented flooding in West Virginia, resulting in 24 deaths, with homes, businesses, entire towns being destroyed. Governor Earl Ray Tomlin declared a state of emergency in 44 of West Virginia's 55 counties. The president made a federal disaster declaration in 8 West Virginia counties. Amateur radio operators have been ready and willing to assist, but so far, communications channels remain open. ARRL West Virginia Section Emergency Coordinator Jim Stevenson, WV8JS, explains.
Even with the amazing amount of flooding that has happened here in the state, the wired telephone systems and the cell phone systems have remained mostly operational, even in these areas where the severe flooding was. So we have had and still have no communications emergency in West Virginia. And for that reason, the Aries Races groups and organizations within the state have not been activated or called out to do anything with emergency communications.
Earlier this week, WV8JS and Kanawha County ARRL Emergency Coordinator Jason Means, W8KTM, helped install an HF and VHF amateur radio station in the National Guard Charleston headquarters to be ready to provide any emergency communications which may be needed in coming days.
They want a fail-safe system, and of course we all know that the only fail-safe system in that we know about is amateur radio.
The National Guard has hundreds of its members deployed throughout the flood-stricken areas, providing flood relief and communications. I also talked with Phil Groves, N8SFO, ARRL West Virginia Section Manager, who has been on the front lines.
Some of the local Aries group, we have them on standby for any help needed, and some of us deliver food and these some other essentials, you know, cleaning and stuff like that to help out. Just hope that people will reach out any way they can and help out any way they can. We need to help our neighbor.
Phil also advised me that as far as he knows, no field day activities were canceled in West Virginia due to the flooding. In fact, here in flood-ravaged Kanawha County, the Kanawha Amateur Radio Club was able to proceed with their planned field day. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW, reporting from Charleston, West Virginia.
We should note that the wildfire crisis and amateur response hasn't just been limited this season to the American West. The Mediterranean island of Cyprus recently had one of its most dramatic struggles in a long time. Amateur Radio Newsline's John Williams, VK4JJW, has those details.
The largest forest fires to ever strike the Salia region on the island of Cyprus are finally over, and the Cyprus Amateur Radio Society has cleared the area's two VHF repeaters for general use again. Cyprus hams employed both club repeaters as well as APRS, with support also provided by stations from the capital city of Nicosia. Firefighters worked on the ground, as well as a team of international aircraft, battling the blazes in high wind conditions and in soaring temperatures. The deadly pine forest fires were historic for that region, considered the largest that part of the Mediterranean island has ever had to contend with. The raging fires also resulted in what is believed to be the first firefighter deaths in the line of duty in at least a decade, claiming two lives. With the four-day emergency over, Nestor 5B4AHZ, president of the Cyprus Amateur Radio Society, declared the repeaters return to general use on the club website on Saturday 25th of June. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
When Pope Francis arrives in Poland towards the end of this month, it will mark his first visit to that country. He will be there for World Youth Days, a biannual event created by Pope John Paul II, that draws young Catholics from all corners of the world. The youth-oriented program isn't the only high-profile activity taking place in Krakow, however. Amateur Radio's special event station, HF0F, will be on the air in that city to coincide with the Pope's visit and will operate from July 25th to July 31st. QSL cards should be sent to SP9BRP. Pope Francis's visit comes 10 years after Pope Benedict's four-day trip to Poland in May of 2006. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including WA9RDF, the Mid-State Amateur Radio Club repeater on Sundays at 7 p.m. local time. In the U.S., we have Dayton, but in Europe, the big gathering for the past four decades has been in Germany. We hear more from Tammy Salmanen, OH7T, who was there for Amateur Radio Newsline.
While the radio amateurs had a field day in the States, in Europe, in middle of the Germany, in Friedrichshafen, had a ham radio expo for the over 17,000 visitors all around the world. During the 3 days, 198 companies and associations from the 36 countries presented their services and products related to radio and telegraphy at the ham radio. In addition to Europe, many exhibitors from the States, Japan, Taiwan, China, Australia, and India were represented there. On the 41st time, ham radio opens the new motto for the exhibition, Amateur Radio on Land, on Water, and on the Air.
For Newsline, 087T, Friedrichshafen, Deutschland, Germany.
College students who love what they're studying often take their assignments higher than they need to go. One Ohio undergrad, a radio amateur, took his sky high. We hear from Newsline's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
For Brandon Nilsson, KD8ZEI, a mechanical engineering student at the University of Akron, what started as one project for his independent study project morphed into a field day launch of another. In his school assignment, Brandon chose a Morse code beacon weather balloon because, well, what ham can resist incorporating amateur radio into their schoolwork? He programmed an Arduino microprocessor that allowed the onboard transmitter to send in CW the words W8UPD weather balloon, bearing the call sign of the University Amateur Radio Club, of which he is president. First mission accomplished. Then came field day, and Brandon had even bigger plans. He wanted to launch another weather balloon, this one carrying a crossband repeater, which he fashioned out of two Bofong HTs. He programmed a Raspberry Pi to take photographs every 30 seconds and save them to an SD card. Then, as field day launched, so did the balloon. Brandon told Amateur Radio Newsline, quote, I figured field day would be the best day of the year to launch since the repeater would have the most likely chance of being used with all the activity, end quote. It worked. He told us his farthest contacts were 15 miles north of Detroit, Michigan, into Ontario, and also into Warren, Pennsylvania. As for the balloon, it eventually made contact, too, with the Earth, and was located on the ground in Sugar Creek, Ohio. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
The summer of 2016 is going to be a memorable summer for three young hams. They're bound for the Caribbean, but they're likely to be more focused on SWR than on sun and surf. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, with their story.
The unspoiled Dutch Caribbean island of Saba boasts mountain rainforests, sailing, and a chance to watch the antics of flying fish. Oh yes, it's a terrific spot to launch your career as a DXer, too. It turns out that one trio of DXers headed to that island soon will be using the call sign Papa Japan 6 Youth, for good reason. Youth, it turns out, is the operative word here. These three are young and enthusiastic kids. They were chosen for the 2016 Dave Kalter Memorial Youth DX Adventure, and they will set out in August to operate at the island station of Jeff Jolie, PJ6/NM1Y. The young hams are Morgan Croucher, KD8ZLK, Ruth Willett, KM4LAO, and Faith Hannah Lee, AE4FH. They will work from the island from August 2nd through August 9th. The DX Adventure is named to honor Dave Kalter, KV8OCP, who was a founder of Youth DX Adventure in October 2009 and a member of the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, one of the trip's many sponsors. Kalter became a silent key in 2013. The youngsters will be accompanied by Joe Brinkley, KD8YPY, Sharon Willett, KM4TVU, and James Lee, WX4TV. Previous youth trips have included Curacao and Costa Rica. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
In another part of the Caribbean, a group of amateurs has been busy testing equipment that they recently got from Australia. They expect all of it to play a key role in their emergency preparedness plans. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, tells us more.
The Radio Rainbow League, formed in the Caribbean in 1995 to help St. Vincent and the Grenadines fulfill their emergency communications needs, has entered into a 2-year pact with Australia's Barrett Communications, which is providing HF equipment toward that end. The Perth, Western Australia-based company manufactures and supplies commercial VHF and HF radio products, from transceivers and power supplies to mobile antennas. The non-profit league will install, operate and maintain the equipment, which comprises of new as well as demonstration products. It hopes that these additions will improve the league's work as a first responder in crisis situations. Everything is presently being tested in the legacy mode, paired with different antennas and in different configurations to ascertain what conditions allow the radios to work their best. The equipment is expected to provide a big boost to the all-volunteer league, which operates two VHF repeaters, but has an incomplete network on HF-SSB domestically. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
If you don't remember Radio Caroline, one of many popular offshore broadcasters from decades ago, here's a chance to sample what the experience was like, amateur radio style. Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us more.
What happens when a group of amateurs wait for their ship to come in? In this case, what happens can result in a great tribute and some radio nostalgia. In fact, that's what's taking shape next month with special event station GB5RC, where the R and C stand for Radio Caroline. Those who remember the era will recall Radio Caroline as the highly popular offshore broadcast operation, complete with superstar DJs who revolutionised listening in the UK for about five decades. That ship, by the way, has already come in. It's the MV Ross Revenge, the site of the original Caroline broadcasts. It will be moored on the River Blackwater in Essex for the occasion. The Essex-based Martello Tower Group is operating two stations aboard the craft between the 5th and 8th of August. This time, however, although there won't be any disc jockeys or spinning discs, amateurs will be spinning the VFOs on their rigs on most of the HF bands between 40 and 10 metres, including possible operation on 17 and 12, both stations operating concurrently, and there will be a commemorative QSL card. It's not so far-fetched for amateur radio to play such a key role in celebrating broadcast radio. After all, hams were very involved in many of the technical aspects of keeping Radio Caroline up and running in the 60s and 70s. The Caroline broadcasts on board the MV Ross Revenge stopped in 1991, but the tributes go on and on. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH in Nottingham, in the UK.
We close this week's newscast on a personal note as we take a moment to remember a silent key, Margaret Rapp, WD9HEE, of Vincennes, Indiana. Margie, a member of the Old Post Amateur Radio Society, died at her home on April 21st after several years of health issues. She was the mother of Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, and the wife of Del Rapp, WB9UKG. Inspired by her amateur radio son and husband, Margie got her license in 1977, the year after her husband and son received their tickets. She grew to become a strong proponent of YLs on the air and was an active participant in the YL International sideband system on 40 meters. In a recent podcast of his show, Ham Talk Live, Neil talked about his mother and her love of a good rag chew on the local repeaters. He said she once even helped a team track down a bootlegger's signal while she was on the radio. Margie was a retired beautician and telephone operator, and, according to her son Neil, quote, a friendly voice to those passing through or needing help, end quote. If people did not know her by her voice, they surely knew her by her call sign phonetics, WD9HEE for Happy Easter Egg. Margie Rapp was 82. The Rapp family asks that memorial contributions be sent to the ARRL General Scholarship Fund, and we here at Amateur Radio Newsline extend our sympathies to Neil and his family. With this newscast, Amateur Radio Newsline marks 39 years, the beginning of its 40th year, of keeping the global amateur community informed. We're proud of the legacy entrusted to us by the late Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, and we're grateful to all of you for your listenership, contributions, and news tips. This week, we especially thank Allen Labs, the ARRL, Barrett Communications, CQ Magazine, Ham Talk Live, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the IARU, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Martello Tower Group, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Pope2016.com, Radio Resource International, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSL Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. For more information, go to our only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team around the world, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016. All rights reserved.